The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Thursday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:50pm. It'll be Gary Capewell, Chris Pimlott and Mark Slater in the studio. Two jumpers in the afternoon, one from Fakenham and one from Warwick. We also have all-weather racing at Southwell on Thursday afternoon as well. And we'll finish the day with an all-weather fixture on the Poly Track at Kempton. So four meetings to look forward to. There's also good racing over in Ireland as well, at Galway with the Thyestes Chase and the Galmoy Hurdle, so we might even squeeze a bit of that in for you as a Brucey bonus as well. So plenty to look forward to. Right now, though, we're going to look at some of the action, and Mick Norton has joined me in the studio. How are you, Mick?
Yes, good, thank you, Mark.
Yeah, so much to look forward to, Mick. I ran out of jingle. Ran out of music,
yes,
on the jingle.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, we've got a great week coming up in Ireland. We've got some trials domestically at the weekend as well. There's all sorts to look forward to, Mick. And interesting news about Annie Power as well on Wednesday, that she's going to go for the Mayor's Hurdle at Doncaster this weekend, which is over the two-mile trip, suggesting that maybe they are considering the Champion Hurdle.
Well, I think the owners are probably wanting to keep that option open, just prove to themselves that she can hack it at 2 miles. I don't think there's going to be any problem. She's a high-class mare. She's beaten Zarkander on her last twice, and we know he's a proper Champion Hurdle horse, isn't he? So
yeah,
absolutely spot on. Keep your options open, and it'd be great to see her over in Sunny Donny this weekend.
Yeah, it's the first time this season she'll have raced over 2 miles. She has won over 2.5 and further. And
stopped Istabrat winning a Champion Hurdle, did it?
It didn't. No, it didn't. And the fact that it's at Doncaster as well.
Good galloping track.
Yeah,
one of the best in the country.
So it'd be very informative this weekend, wouldn't it?
Brilliant stuff.
We're also going to get a few clues towards the World Hurdle, whether Annie Power goes to the race or not, because Big Bucks is back in action. He's running in the Cleve Hurdle. I'm sure you've heard that by now.
Yes.
But he's
I had heard it on the grapevine, yeah.
He's 4-7 favourite to win the Cleve Hurdle on his reappearance. If he turns up on Song though, Mick, he's hard to beat, isn't he?
Very much so, yeah. He's still the reigning champ, isn't he? And I think Sam's a great jockey booking for him, and I think he'll get on like a house on fire.
Yeah, he's in good form as well, isn't he, Sam Twiston Davis? Had a treble at Leicester on Tuesday. So, he's warming up nicely towards it as well.
And he is.
They schooled together the other day, and apparently it all went very well.
Went very well, yeah. So let's keep our fingers crossed that he comes out of his race in one piece.
Mm. It's a good Cleve Hurdle, though, isn't it? Rev de Civil, a second favourite, 3-1.
Yeah, absolutely.
There.
Yeah, a proper contest, isn't it? They're not running scared of Big Bucks with, you know, maybe just a slight question mark hanging over him at the moment.
Mm. So there's that to look forward to. We've got the Argento Chase, we've got the Irish Champion Hurdle as well, Mick.
We've got baby Frankos appearing all over the place. Seems to be on a day-by-day basis.
Yeah.
Goodness me. Doesn't seem like 5 minutes since I had to revoice his winning the judgment, about 2 minutes after he passed the post, which was the last thing I needed. But, goodness me. How time flies, Mark.
Yes, we'll soon be having them. It won't be too long before they're on the race course, will it?
I know.
We'll be talking about Frankel's offspring. Mm. While we're on the subject of flat races, then, changing the status of a couple of races on the flat this season, next season. Queen's Vars and the D Stakes both downgraded from Group 3s to listed races.
I mean, the D Stakes, really, it does throw up good horses, isn't it? Magician, of course, who won the 2,000 guineas in Ireland and the Breeders' Cup last year's winner, and there's been plenty of other good horses have come out of the D6. It's just that they don't get the runners, do they?
No.
With it being such a sort of idiosyncratic track, for some reason trainers don't support the race, and I think that's the reason it's lost its group status. I certainly think that they could have hung on to Group 3. I'm not totally surprised, but I do think that might not be a step forward. The Queen's Vars, don't know what to make of the Queen's Vars. The winner of the Queen's Vars is usually a very good horse, isn't it? I can live with the Queen's Vars being demoted to listed. I'm not so sure about the D Stakes.
Okay. Other flat news, Frankie Dettori. He's scheduled to be back in the saddle on Wednesday as well. He's turning up at Lingfield. So it's good to see him back, isn't it?
Might come back with a winner as well, mightn't he, in the first. So we'll see. But it's good to have him back. It's not the same without Frankie, is it?
It's not. Might not be too many flying dismounts, though, by the sounds of things.
I think they might be a thing of the past.
Yes, yeah. I would recommend that after you break your ankle. Don't go jumping 10 foot in the air off a horse. Anything else got your eye, Mick, in the news or anything before I move on to Thursday's racing?
No, it's... the Irish operation seemed to be rolling into top gear. Rule the World won last Saturday's Grade 3 Lambstone Hurdle. Promising run from John Gwibin third. I mean, he's heading for the festival now, isn't he? Good to see him back up to his very, very best. Mm. Yeah, I mean, Felix Younger, looks a very exciting prospect, and the horse that won the other day, belonging to the Wileys, the juvenile.
Yeah, the one that's favourite. Ivan Grozny.
He's very excited. I haven't quite got my... I've just got the four-year-old pecking order sorted out by this time, Mark, but it's eluding me so far this year. Of course, we got it spot on last year with our Connor from a long way out, but this year might be a bit trickier.
Yeah.
But anyway, we'll keep our ear close to the ground and see what happens between now and then.
Yeah, Sean made the same point on the podcast the other day that this time last year, we'd already had several candidates that you'd be following, whereas Ivan Grozny's the first one to really jump out this year, isn't he?
Yes, that looks a bit tasty, yeah.
Yeah, interesting. Mm. I'm sure we'll get a few more clues in the next few weeks, but it's all starting to come together quite nicely, isn't it, in the festival picture for most racers. I mean, if we keep the runners in the likes of the World Hurdle and the Champion Hurdle and everything, it's going to be a cracking festival, isn't it?
Yeah, and of course, you know, the sort of picture might alter this weekend, mightn't it, with Connor, they're sounding much more bullish about for this second crack at Hurricane Fly. They were very negative about him first time up, but not this time. It's all systems go, I think, and I don't think there'll be much in that.
Yeah, and Jeski's probably entitled to get closer as well if it were a bit more looking running, so it could be an absolute belter on Sunday.
I'm glad I'm in, Mark.
Yes, yeah, me too. I don't mind working weekends when it's like that.
No, absolutely.
Right, let's concentrate on Thursday then, shall we? Because we've got to a few more days racing before we get to the weekend, and you're going to focus on Kempton Park, Mick.
Yeah, Kempton have got a twilight meeting. They get underway at 4:30. I've had a look at three races on the card, the 6 o'clock, 6:30. And 7 o'clock, Mark.
Okay, the 6 o'clock then is the first one. This is a Class 5 handicap over 2 miles. We have 9 of them in the lineup, and Coup de Grace is coming here in form.
Yeah, he hasn't won on the flat since landing a course and distance handicap back in January about a year ago. That was off a £7 lower mark, but the fact that this is only his third all-weather start, and he is fit from three recent runs over hurdles, suggests that his chance should be taken seriously, and I think there'll be plenty of people wanting to back him. I'm going to sort of he's on my shortlist, Mark, but he's not going to be the main selection.
Okay. Where else are you looking then, Mick?
I'll start with a horse I do like here, and that's King Olav, who, trained by Tony Carroll, Mark Coombe takes the ride. He's a 5 times course winner here at Kempton, and bounced back from some untypically lacklustre runs with an excellent fifth over a mile and a quarter here last time. I mean, you know, this horse nearly wants this far, so it's a run so well. It was only beaten... he was beaten length and a half to Sway Han when finishing fifth of 13 in that 10 furlong contest last time. He's still at £5 higher than his last win in April 2013, but he has won off 80s and 90s in the past, and this mark isn't beyond him in Class 5. He's got a Class 3 good effort of 72 as recently as last September, which is not that long ago for him to be in here in Class 5 off a mark in the 60s. And with Mark Coombs 3 to help as well. I know he's getting on a little bit now, but Tony Carroll's amongst the winners. And I thought that was a smashing run over a trip far too short for him. And the other one who makes the shortlist is Valid Reason, who's trained by Dean Ivory. Jim Crawley takes a ride. Another one who's been jumping like Coup de Grace. Hasn't won on the flat for over 3 years, but I saw him... in fact, the last time he ran on the flat, he finished a close third at York. He was third of 17 to be perfect in one of those staying contests round York. And he's had 3 runs over hurdle since to keep him ticking over. And he's got a decent all-weather record, you know. He's got he's had 8 starts on the all-weather, 2 wins and 1 place. And he must be respected at a track where he is a dual winner at. So they're the three for me in the 6 o'clock, King Olav, Valid Reason and Coup de Grace. But I think I'll take a chance on the old boy King Olav with his bid for his 6th course win.
OK, King Olav then in the 6 o'clock. The 6.30 is where we go next, and this is a Class 5 handicap over a mile and a half. And Lee Trim Pass went close at the course last time, finishing third behind Artistical, beating only 3/4 of a length on that occasion. And nudges up in trip a little bit more here, Mick. Do you think that will help him?
I do. Right, even after he got headed the other day, he came back, rallied, re-rallied, didn't he? Mm-hmm. So I don't think that's a problem. We did highlight his chance in that way. I did the... podcast for that race, and I thought if the money came for him, he'd be respected. It did come for him again, but that was a quick. It does make a quick reappearance after trying to make Hawley 4 days ago, and he ran. I thought he ran really well to finish a close third to Artistician, and especially considering that was his first start for 146 days. And it may well have brought him on enough to be a major player here. Mm-hmm. He's got plenty of players handicap form around this mark, and including in a class higher, Class 4. So he's got to be a major player.
And they'll put the cheek pieces on as well.
Pieces on for the first time. And, he'll be hard to pass, will Leitrim Pass.
OK. Main dangers though, Mick?
Poitain, I think, has winning form and claiming company here. Looked to be slightly unlucky not to finish closer than her fourth to Swayhan. So that horse's name popped up in our previous race, didn't it, with King Olav. Mm. So keep an eye on King Olav's chances with Poitain just in behind Swayhan here last time. Being denied a clear run in the final furlong with not enough time to recover from that. And but did run right to the line. She's yet to win a handicap, but has often been highly tried. She's even taken part in 2 listed contests at Mark. And a reproduction of that run 2 weeks ago, I think, can put that all-important first handicap win to her name. Leitrim Pass does rate a danger, along with, possibly Polytrack debutant Java Rose, the other one of interest here, where a turf form for Henry Candy would make her a player. Placed twice off this mark in Class 4 company, but does have to leave a slightly disappointing debut run for a new stable of Charlie Longs, and when a well-backed favourite over hurdles at Fakenham didn't really appear to take to it. I wouldn't really blame her too much for that. I think back on the flat, though, she's going to be a contender, but the other two just appeal more than Java Rose. Tough one to call between Poitain and Leitrim Pass. I think Leitrim Pass is going to get slightly overbet, so I'll go the other way with Poitain.
Okay, the 7 o'clock is the last race we're going to look at. This is a handicap, a Class 4 handicap, over the 6 furlong trip, and an interesting one in here, Mick. Absolutely so. Won at Lingfield in November 2012, then had 13 months off the track, and then won at Lingfield in December. Last month. So, if it'd be a long-term hat trick, wouldn't it?
It will, and it's also as well as the hat trick, he's bidding to maintain his unbeaten all-weather record. £6 rise, I think, is fair enough. I think on the revised terms, he should be able to get the better of Palace Moon again, who was a close second. Poor old Palace Moon, at the age of 9, went up 4 for that, and he went up 6.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's going to be enough. He'd probably be playing for places again, Palace Moon. His losing run's adding up a little bit as well. Worth bearing in mind, though, his last win did come off a mark of 100, and he can race here off 82. But no, I don't think we've got to the bottom of absolutely so yet. And I'm not going to be opposing him in his handicap bid. Another one I might be worth considering on the pro market for a place is the ever-consistent Lexus Hero. He's wearing the visor for the first time. Deservedly got his head in front at Wolverhampton last time after a string of solid placed efforts. He's gone up five in what's arguably a stronger race, which could leave him vulnerable behind, absolutely so. But another slight contender as well is that it's his first start here at Kempton, and all of his wins so far to date have come left-handed. But if that's not a problem to him, he's not out of it. But I do think that absolutely so is the one to be with till he gets beaten.
Okay, let's have a summary then, Mick, if you wouldn't mind spinning us through your three for
right.
Thursday one more time.
We're going with King Olav in the 6 o'clock, who is bidding for his sixth course win, would you believe? Mm. It's a tough call between Poitin and Leitrim Pass in the 6:30. I just think Leitrim Pass, I get the feeling he might get over bet. So I'm going to go with Poitin to gain her first handicap win. Very unlucky, I thought, not to win last time. And up in little further up in trip won't hurt her chances either. And absolutely so, I'm going with him in the 7 o'clock to continue his unbeaten winning ways on the poly track.
OK, good stuff, Mick. Thank you very much. Enjoy it on Thursday.
Will do, Mark. Thank you very much.
So there you go, the thoughts of Mick Norton on Thursday's racing. Then you'll hear all of it on Racing Radio from 12:50 PM. It'll be Gary Capewell, Chris Pimlott and Mark Slater in the studio. Fakenham and Warwick over jumps on Thursday afternoon. It's all weather action at Southwell in the afternoon as well. And then evening racing on the poly track at Kempton. So four meetings to look forward to domestically. There's also some good racing in Ireland as well, which we'll try and squeeze in on Racing Radio on Thursday afternoon as well. So tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Thursday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.